In your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. One final announcement. Before you leave today, congratulate Rachel. She graduates this afternoon with her master's degree. Everything about the birth of Jesus was and is extraordinary. I think it's extraordinary. It just the fact that God would come to be with man as a man is to me extraordinary. Then, of course, there's the time, there's the place, there's the way, there's the circumstances, there's the first witnesses to the birth of Jesus. All of that is at least unusual. I think it's extraordinary. I want to read you that story and just listen to it. And it's a beautiful story. And sometimes we get caught up in the beauty of the story. As I read it this morning, try to listen to how unusual it is, thinking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the way he came. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, doesn't that strike you as unusual? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, born in a stable, laid in a feed trough, in a little bitty spot in the road called Bethlehem. I've often wondered about, I've even studied it and tried to figure out, I'm sure there's reasons that it happened the way that it did. And I've tried to figure out what those reasons were, and honestly, I haven't come up with much, to be honest with you. But I've always thought it was unusual. But the truth is that God chose all of the events of the birth of Christ. And that brings us to Galatians chapter 4. Look at Galatians 4, starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Those few verses tell us about some choices that God made, and I want to talk about some of those choices this morning. And the first of all is that God chose the fullness of the time. Verse 4 says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The fullness of the time is all of the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. God chose them all. I've been thinking about, every year I think about it, but this year in particular, I've been thinking about that. And, you know, I thought, you know, if I was doing it, I would have done it differently. Right? Wouldn't you have? Honestly, now, if you got to choose, if somehow God spoke to you one day, one night you're sleeping, snoozing real good, and you get a vision from God, and God speaks to you and He says, listen, I'm going to send my only Son into the world. You choose how it's supposed to happen. I probably would have chosen a different mother and a different earthly father for Jesus. Now, listen. Mary was nobody special. I hope you'll let me say it that way. She wasn't important. She wasn't well known. She wasn't famous. Nobody was paying any attention to Mary and what she was doing. No camera crews followed her around. She didn't have a blog. None of that. Nobody knew what Mary was, but God chose Mary. Specifically chose Mary. God chose Mary because she was faithful. That's the only reason God chose Mary. She was faithful. I probably would have chosen somebody other than Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus. He was a carpenter. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being a carpenter, but he was a poor carpenter. He was just like Mary. He wasn't important. Nobody knew who he was or what he was doing. A few folks hired him to do something at their house, and that was about it. You know, I probably would have chosen somebody rich, powerful, influential, right? That's probably who I would have chosen, but God chose Joseph. And he chose Joseph only because Joseph was faithful. I probably would have chosen a different place. Bethlehem was a little bitty tiny, literally a spot in the road, a little bitty town. Nobody important lived in Bethlehem. Nobody influential lived in Bethlehem, or he probably even came from Bethlehem. It was Nowheresville. I probably would have chosen Rome. I mean, after all, the emperor lived in Rome. If the King of Kings is coming, shouldn't he come to the capital of the world, Rome? I probably would have chosen Rome, but God chose Bethlehem. I probably would have chosen different people to be the first witnesses of the birth of the King. I talk about this every year, but it just boggles my mind. Shepherds were on the very, very lowest rung of the social ladder. If they were on the social ladder at all, they probably weren't even on the ladder. Shepherds were the used car salesmen of ancient times. Sorry, Dad. Did you know, this is the truth now, shepherds could not testify in a court of law because they couldn't be believed. Now, why would you pick shepherds to be the first witnesses and the first heralds, human heralds, of the birth of the Son of God? I would have chosen somebody else. I would have chosen somebody with power, somebody with influence, somebody with a platform, maybe a governmental leader. I would have had all of the news networks cover the birth of the King, right? We would have splashed this thing over every newspaper the world had. That's what I would have done. Jesus chose shepherds. I probably would have chosen a different time in history. I probably would have waited until man was a little more civilized with a few more creature comforts. I might have waited until the car and the airplane had been invented, and that way Jesus could take his message farther and faster than just walking or riding a donkey. I might have waited until the World Wide Web came into existence so that every word that Jesus spoke and every miracle that Jesus performed could be known around the world instantly. But God chose 2,000 years ago, 2,000 plus years ago. Very, very unusual. I probably would have done it differently. Aren't you glad I didn't get to choose? God chose all of the circumstances, all of the events, the time, the place, the people, every single thing about the birth of Jesus Christ. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent His Son. God also chose to redeem us. Verse 5 says that He had sent His Son to redeem them that were under the law. All of mankind was under the law when Jesus came. And if Jesus had not come, every future generation would have been under the law. You and I would have been under the law had Jesus not come. Because Jesus came and fulfilled the law. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The whole world, all people of all time, God chose to redeem all people of all time. That's why He sent Jesus. We also know that all of the work of redemption, salvation, all of the work of salvation is the work of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's nothing that we can do. There's no work that we can perform, no amount of money that we can pay, nothing that we can achieve to attain salvation. God knew that. God knows that. So He sent His Son to do the work. He sent His Son to die on the cross so that all people could be saved, because He loved all people. Everybody can be saved, but we don't do it on our own. We do it only because we confess our sins and accept the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of the work of salvation is God's work. He chose to redeem all of mankind. It is true, we must choose God to be saved, but God chose us first to offer us redemption. God also chose to make us part of His family. I want to read verses 5 through 7 again. It says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we confess our sins and believe in our hearts, confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, like Romans said, when that happens, we become a member of the family of God. We're adopted officially into the family of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I hear people, you hear people a lot of times talking about that we're all just the children of God. No, we are not. We are all God's creation. But only the saved are the children of God. Amen. Only the saved are part of the family of God. But all of the saved are part of the family of God. Amen. As proof of our adoption into God's family, He sent what He called the Spirit of His Son, the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." As proof of our adoption, God gave to us, His people, His children, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. God Himself indwells the believer. He lives in us. I can't explain that. I can't tell you how that works, but I know that it's the truth because God said it's the truth. Yes. I know that it's the truth because just every now and then I feel Him. Don't you? Because we're adopted into His family, He has made us an heir with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now this gets pretty good, folks. Listen to this, Romans 8:16 and 17. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Many years ago, after Sarah and I had, Allison or maybe Allison and Kara both, we made a will. Because we wanted our children to be our heirs. We wanted them to have whatever it was that we might accumulate through the years. They're not really looking forward to getting it. I hope. It's not much. But when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God adopted us into His family and He wrote us into His will. He made us a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, you have an inheritance, and it is heaven. And it is joy, and it is peace, and it is eternal life, and it is glory forever. What a wonderful thing. God chose to redeem us. God chose to make us His child. God chose to give us an inheritance. He didn't have to do any of that. And finally, and probably most importantly, God chose you. God chose you for salvation. Sometimes when we read, I'm going to read John 3:16 and Romans 10:13 again. And sometimes when we read those verses and we talk about Jesus came to redeem the whole world, all of mankind, sometimes we get so broad in our thinking we forget that it's personal. God chose you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world and whosoever, that's you. It's everybody, but listen, you're in everybody. It's you. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that's you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All is you. We read the Bible with a broad perspective, and we think, oh, how wonderful, God came for everybody, and sometimes we forget, Jesus came. Jesus was born. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus resurrected, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave for you. I'm convinced that if there had been only one living human being on the earth, that God loved that one human being so much that He would have sent His Son Jesus to die for one. Because He chose you. Listen to the words closely of Luke 2:11. The announcement to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not for unto the world, not for unto the Jews, not for unto the wealthy, not for unto the beautiful, but for unto you Amen. Is born a Savior. Isn't that marvelous? God chose you. God chose me. Of all the people in the world, of all the billions and billions of people throughout history, you are God's choice. You are on His mind. You are in His heart. You are the reason Jesus came. Unto you is born a Savior. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and play a song of invitation and